Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Nun Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the mark the daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins almost halfway down the page, 21 lines from the top. Today's Gemara will open with a brief quote from a Tanaic source that we saw at the end of our previous shiur, which described an animal falling face forward into a pit as a result of the sounds of a pit digger or a pit widener, where there was an existing pit and someone was hired to either deepen it or widen it. The noise made created a fright on the part of the animal and it fell into a pit. In addition to the quote we just mentioned, there is a topic heading that we have on the side of the Gemara, and you'll see in the course of the Gemara the following nosei, the following topic that we've written in the margin, Shitas Rebbe Nosson, will be introduced to the opinion of Rebbe Nosson, B'mikresh yesh shnei mazikin, given a circumstance where there are two contributing causes of damage. Oimrim, we say, D'chol hecha d'lo efshir lishtalu me'mehai, mishtalei me'hai. According to Reb Nosson, where you for some reason can't collect full payment from one mazik, one damager, you collect the balance from the other source of damage. Now let us turn to the Gemara. Omar Mar, this is a quote from the source just above that you can see in the frame that's about 3-4 lines in length. Nofal lefonov mikol hakriyo chayov. If the animal fell face forward into a pit as a result of the noise of the digging, so the owner of the pit must compensate for the death of the animal. The Gemara asks, Ve'amai neimo kira goram le? Why do you hold the owner of the pit responsible? Why not hold the one who was digging widening the pre-existing pit? He should be held responsible. Was it not the noise that he created that caused the animal to slip into the pit? We answer. Notice we have a long answer marking. Omar Rav Simi Barashi Homoni Rabbi Nosson He. The source that we learned is in accordance with Rabbi Nosson, the Omar Baal Habor Hezeka Ka'ovid. The owner of the pit created the environment in which the damage took place. And when I cannot collect damages from one, I turn to the other. Now, in my opinion, the main words are not in the Gemara text itself. But if you look in the Rashi, Baal Habor Hezeka Ovid, Rashi says, just a couple lines up from here, Klomar. Notice when you see the word Klomar in Rashi, that tells you that the simple translation of the Gemara is simply not enough. The Rashi explains, Besoich Sheloi Nimsa Hanezek. It's within the property of the pit owner that the damage was found. V'chol Hechadol Efshalishdumi Mikire. When you cannot collect from the digger, why? And here's the main point. The koil equals groma bi'almahu. The koil, the sound that caused the animal the fright, is not that which damaged. It caused the damage to take place. And therefore, we have in Jewish tort law, groma b'nezikin, that which is a causative factor, is not liable financially to compensate. Therefore, you, since you cannot collect from the kira, from the one who was digging, mishtale mine de balabor, you collect from the other source of damage, namely the pit in which the animal fell and died. We continue in the Gemara. Desanya, shor shedochaf es chavero lebor. And we should note, by the way, that we have a little aleph, and on the side of the Gemara, in the mivneh, under the structural note, we indicate shnei makoros, the aleph and beis. You see, you have an aleph here, and a few lines later, four lines later, you see a beis. The shnei makoros Rabbi Nosson, v'hein seistrim zeze be'inyan seder atashlumin. Be two sources that appear to be contradictory regarding how payment is made. But in the meantime, we have already said that according to Rabbi Nosson, when you can't collect for some reason from one party, you, and there's another damager involved, you collect from him. So we have a source that says there are two. There's a first opinion in the source, and then Rabbi Nosson will appear. Shor shedochav es chaver lebor, an ox that shoved another ox into a pit. Baal hashor chayav baal abor poter. The baal hashor is chayav. The aggressive ox owner is chayav. The owner of the pit is exempt. The opinion of the Tanakama is based on the, we'll say, the svara that the owner of the pit can say, if not for the aggressive ox, then which did something in an active, in a proactive fashion, my pit wouldn't have been involved. And Rashi adds the point that proactive element. Rashi uses the expression v'hai d'chifa maisi b'yadayim havoi v'lo gromo. It was a proactive, aggressive action. So that is the reasoning behind the Tanakama. Rabbi Nosson Oimer, Baal Hashor Mishalei Mechza, Ubaal Habor Mishalei Mechza. Rabbi Nosson says the ultimate damage took place between the two forces, the shoving of the ox and the falling into the pit. Rashi adds, and let's learn the Rashi together. Reb Nosson Oimer Baal Habor Mishalei Mechza Sharei Bein Shnei Mimisuhu. Between the two of them, the aggressive ox in the pit, the victim ox died. Afilu havishor hanizak pikeach, even if the damaged animal was of sound animal mind, chayav, the aggressor is nevertheless, the owner of the pit is duty bound to compensate, because in this case, the leko lememar, the owner of the pit is not able to say what we've seen elsewhere with a shor pikeach, iboyaloch iuni umezal. You should have looked where you were going. That is a good excuse for the baal habor in general to exempt himself, but it doesn't work over here because the hochavero dochvo, the other animal, shoved this shor pikeach, this normal ox, into the pit. The Gemara asks, "V'ha Tanya, do we not have a source in which Rabbi Nosson himself appears? Rabbi Nosson Oimer Baal Habor Mishalim Gimel Chalokim Ubaal Hashor Ravia, the owner of the pit pays three quarters of the damage, and the owner of the ox pays only one quarter." A moment ago, Rabbi Nosson was quoted as saying that they split the payment between them. Why the three-quarter, one-quarter scheme? Lo kasha, there's no difficulty here. Ha betam, ha bemwad. Source Beis, the second source, is dealing where the aggressor ox was a tam. How much would a tam pay if it damaged on its own? Half damages. In this case, he pays a quarter damage. The Gemara will explain how that comes to be. But there's a clear difference between a case of an aggressor ox, that's a mere tam, that still has a docile status, versus the mu'ah, the non-docile, aggressive type ox, which we call mu'ad, there he pays not a quarter, but half damages. Now the Gemara analyzes, ubetam mai kosovar, regarding the tam, what is the thinking? E kosovar hai kule hazeka ovad v'hai kule hazeka ovad. If you're to say that each one on its own is viewed as doing total damage, that each one on its own would have been able to kill the animal, either the shoving of the ox or the falling into the pit, then hai mishalim palga, they should split the damages. If they're on the same footing, then they should split the damages. And if you are to say that each one did only half the damage, bal habor mishalim palga, then the bal habor would pay half, which is the full amount of what he did. He did half damage. Ubal hashor, the owner of the shore, which is a shore tam, revi'a, would pay half of what he was expected to pay. In other words, if he did half of the damage, so let him pay half of what he would have had to pay, and that would be a quarter. The idach, now why, let's just review that point. If the full amount he would have had to pay is a sum total of half damage, since it's a short tam, which in general pays half of the full amount, in this case the full amount was, pal gazek, was half damage. So half of that was a quarter. The idach riva mafsid, and the other quarter, the owner, the victim, loses out on. The Rashi that's relevant to this, we look at the lower part of the narrow lines. Ubal hashor de tam hu l'shalim revi'a, the owner of the ox, which is a tam status ox, let him pay a quarter. Ubal habor de muad hu, the owner of the pit. The pit is doesn't have there isn't a breakdown, a distinction between tam and muad. A bor is mu'ad to cause damage. It will definitely cause damage. L'shalem palga v'idoch mafsid nizak. In the other quarter, the victim shall lose out on. So we have not yet explained the three quarters, one quarter approach. Alma Rava. So we have an answer. Note that we have a long answer marking. We have it's also broken down into one, and then there's an Ebois Ema, a second approach, and hence you could see the long, how much of the Gemara is dedicated to provide an answer to this. So Alma Rava, Rabbi Nosson Dayona Hu. Rabbi Nosson was a judge. He functioned as a judge, constantly involved with monetary disputes, and v'nochis lumka d'dina, and he descends into the depth of the justice. Le'olam kosavai kule hazeka avad vai kule hazeka avad. According to this approach, we say both on their own were capable of doing the full damage. U'dekokashiloch, and if that's how you're going to present it, then l'shalei mai palga vai palga. If each one is responsible for full damage, in other words, each one on its own, the shore and the boar on their own would have accomplished the full damage, then let each one pay one half. So why not? Why the three quarter, one quarter? Mishum di omar le bal hashor le bal habor. The bal hashor, the owner of the aggressive animal, which was a shor tam. He says to the Baal Habor, he says to the owner of the pit, if I'm going to have to pay one half, that's how much I would have had to pay even if you weren't around. Shutfisoi, shutfisoi means my partnership with you in the damage. Maya Hanyali, of what benefit is there that you are with me if I would have to pay half damages. So since you are in it with me, since we're both in the picture, so to speak, we're partners in it. So I want to benefit from the partnership, and hence, instead of my paying, we'll call a full one half, which is the maximum a short time would have had to pay anyway, now that there's another damager in the picture, namely the owner of the pit, I'm going to pay half of that, namely a quarter damage. And hence you come out with the one quarter. And as far as the Baal HaBor is concerned, Rabbi Nosson Lashitaso, that when you cannot collect full damages from one, you get the balance from the rest, from the other one. And in this case, the Baal HaBor, who is described as having done full damage, pays three quarters. Another approach. We will say that in terms of the source of the three-quarter, one-quarter source, each one is credited with having done half of the damages. And if that be the case, we asked, Baal HaBor Mishalem Palgo, Baal HaShor Mishalem Revio, let the owner of the pit pay one half. After all, he did only half damage. Let the Baal HaShor, which is a Shor Tam, pay a quarter, Mishalem Revio, because that's half of what he would have had to pay had he been responsible for all of the damage. So he would have had to pay Chatzi Nezek, half damages. Now that he's responsible for half of the damages, he pays a quarter. The idach rivon nafsid, and the other quarter, let the victim lose out. Why not say that? Mishum de omar lei baal hashor lebaal habor. The owner of the victim animal says to the owner of the pit, "Anot turoi bebiroch hashkechisei." I found my animal in your pit. My dead animal was in your pit. At katlisei, you killed it. Namely your pit killed it. My de isli lishpilum mehech mishtalamno. That which I can get from the other one, from the aggressor animal, I'll collect. My de lesli lishpilum mehech mishtalamno mimoch mimcha. That which I can't collect from him, I'm going to collect from you. As we said, as far as I am concerned, says the owner of the victim animal to the owner of the pit, you are the one responsible. After all, I found my animal in your pit. Up till this point, we were focusing on the opinion of Rabbi Nosson. Rashi, most interestingly, tells us what the opinion of the Rabbanon would be regarding the issue of the pit digger and the noise and the death of the animal in the pit. So let us look at Rashi together on the second wide line under the Gemara text. Rashi says, "My de isli v'chulei avol Rabbanon boser meikara azli." We already saw this in the source that we had labeled source Aleph, that the Rabbanon emphasized the initial act. The Savri, and they hold, in the case of the noise and the pit, the Savri de Baal HaShor Kula Hezekov. Let me correct myself regarding the animal that shoved the victim into the pit. The Rabbanon hold that the aggressor animal is totally responsible. Hilkoch b'muad, if the aggressor animal was muad, Baal HaShor Mishalem Kulei, he will pay the full damage. Ubatam, if the aggressor animal that did the shoving into the pit was a tam, Baal HaShor Mishalem Palga. Upalga mafsid, the nizak will lose out the other half. In other words, you don't go to the Baal HaBor according to the Rabbanon whatsoever. And we repeat, because the Shitas Rabbanon is, the opinion of Rabbanon is Boser Me'ikor Azli. They look at the initial act of aggression is the whole story. Ve'gabi masnisin nami, And in the case of the Mishnah where an animal fell face forward into a pit, the Rabbanan will tell you, Basukura Azlinan. We look at the digger who created the noise. Ushnehem Pturin. The digger is potter because he's only a grumma. He's only a causative factor. He didn't bodily do anything to the animal itself. But he was the initial source of problem. And the owner of the pit is exempt because of the Shitas Rabbanan that only hold guilty, culpable, the initial actor. Let us now turn back to the Gemara. Omar Rava, Hiniach Evan al pi habor, Ubo shor veniskal bo venofal habor. Someone left a stone at the edge of a pit, and an animal came and tripped over the stone and fell into the pit. How do we judge this? Who is responsible? Who pays? Bonu l'machlikas Rabbi Nosson v'Rabbonan. We've arrived at the disagreement between Rabbi Nosson and Rabbonan. Rashi, second line from the bottom, Bonu l'machlikas l'Rabbonan, according to Rabbonan, Balo Evan Chayav, the one who put the stone there at the edge of the pit bears responsibility. To who? Goram kol hanafila. He caused the falling. Umishum groma benezikin lekol imifterei. However, as far as, even though we just use the word goram kol hanafila, don't confuse the use of the word goram kol hanafila with the concept of groma benezikin. We're not going to rule exemption for the owner of the stone. Why not? The evinami hainu bor. A stone is a form of bor. We've seen this extensively in the past. Vezeka biyadayimu, and it's considered a form of active damage. Active in the sense that you put the stone there and the animal tripped over the stone. It's different than the case of someone simply causing noise and the sound waves cause the animal to have a be overcome by fright and then fall in. I'm sure everyone sees the difference. One is physically involved with the animal. It's the animal's falling, and the other is causative. The kedisayin per gimel, Rashi here quotes what we've learned in the past regarding things that are classified as a pit. He says, Homa doimeloze avno sakina, what is similar to a pit? Leaving a stone or a knife or a package in a public thoroughfare. Reb Nosson, and according to Reb Nosson, in this case, Bain Shnehem Mishalmi, the owner of the stone and the owner of the pit. Now, the analysis that we just described, that we just said, the Gemara responds with a question, Pshita, is this not obvious? Rava is telling us a halacha that seems to be obvious, that putting a stone at the edge of the pit, an animal trips over a stone, falls into the pit, how payment should be made, that would be dependent on the disagreement between Reb Nosson and Rabbanan. According to Rabbanan, the entire payment would come from the stone owner, and according to Reb Nosson, the payment is split between the stone owner and the pit owner. So what do I need Rava for? And the more answers, Ma'u detema. Hosimhu, the Omar Bala Bor, Labala Shor, in the previous case where we saw the argument between Reb Nosson and the Rabbonan, an aggressive animal shoving someone into a pit, there the Baal Habor could say to the Baal Ashor, the owner of the pit could say to the aggressive ox owner, Ilav Bira Didi, if not for my pit, Tura Didoch Havekotile, your aggressive animal would have killed the victim anyway. In other words, my pit isn't so relevant. Avalhocha Motsi Omale Baal Evan Labal Habor. In this case, however, the owner of the stone can say to the owner of the pit, Ilav biro didoch, avno didi, my have avdo. My stone, what would it have done if a stone was placed on a flat surface ground without any pits in the vicinity? My stone, what would it have done? Yihave miskal bo avinof of akoi. Had the animal tripped over my stone alone, it would have simply gotten up and continued walking. That difference is what I would have thought. I would have thought that only in the case before would the Baal Habor have presented a sort of a innocent image. But over here with the stone case, the Baal Habor appears to be the only guilty party. Komash Malon, Rava reveals to us, the Omar Lay, the Baal Habor can say back to the owner of the stone, Ilav Evan, if not for your stone, lo have a nofil labiro. The animal, the victim animal, would not have fallen into the pit. So that without Rava, the appearance of the arguments would have appeared different than the way we actually rule. And that is that the machlokis, the story concerning the pit at the stone edge, in fact, is an additional example of a machlokis, Rabbi Nosson and the Rabbanan. Itmar, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Shor v'shor psule hamukdoshim shenogchu. Two animals, a regular common ox, and an ox that had once been dedicated as a sacrifice but became blemished, and hence it's unfit to be offered as a sacrifice. It's then redeemed, and it becomes yours for slaughtering purposes. But before you slaughtered it, it was walking around, and together with a regular common shor, they both pushed a third animal. That's shenokhu. They gored a third animal. Abaye Omar, as far as the payment scheme is concerned. So before actually we go on in the Gemara, let's take note of our topic heading on the side. Shor hedyot v'shor psalim u'kdoshim shenokhu achir. Abaye v'ravina oimrim kamo yehe hatashlum. Abaye and Ravina give their opinions on how much shall be paid. Hagemor Mara she'ein machlokes bein Abaye and Ravina. Even though at first glance Abaye and Ravina seem to be arguing, the Gemara will tell us they are really not arguing. We should point out, according to Tosfos, who quotes the Rabbi Yudoy Goyin, the shor psulim u'kdoshim mentioned here is, as we said, an animal disqualified from serving as a sacrifice but had not yet been redeemed. So as such, it's still considered in the realm of kochim, hektish. And therefore, you will see in the Gemara, it cannot serve, or it doesn't serve as a basis, even though it caused damage, as a source of collection, as an animal that would be deemed responsible for it, the owner having to pay damages. Let's now continue with the Gemara. Abaye Omar, Meshalem Chatzi Nezek. In this case, the collection, the payment will be a total of Chatzi Nezek. Ravina Omar Meshalim Revia Nezek. And Ravina says a quarter of the damages will be paid. Ha v'ha betam. Both Abaye and Rava and Ravina are speaking about a tam. I said Rava because there's actually an alternative girsa, an alternative version that has Rava here. Both are speaking about a tam. Ha kirabonan, Ravina reflects the Tanaic opinion of the Rabbanan that would rule a quarter, and we'll explain that in a moment. V'ha k'Rebbi Nosson, and Abaye goes like Rebbi Nosson. We take a look at Rashi. Abaye Omar, Chatzi Nezek Mishalein. Baal Hashor, Vashar Mafsid Hanizak. The owner of the common aggressor animal, the hedyot animal, will pay half damages, and the Nizak loses out on the rest. Uvatam Mukminon Law. We set it up with a short tam as the aggressor, and the half damage, Uchid Rabbi Nosson. This is in accordance with Rabbi Nosson, the Omar, Ma de Lesley Shamei Mehai, Shamei Mehai. That which you cannot collect from one, collect from the other. Who is the one you can't collect from over here? As we said a moment ago, the owner of the Shor Psul HaMukdoshim, it's Hegdish, and as Hegdish, it's not called Shor Re'ehu, your friend's animal, your colleague's animal, your equal's animal. Only then, when it's Ki Yigach Shor Ish as Shor Re'ehu, when it's two people on the same footing, then we talk in terms of payment for damages. But a Shor Psul HaMukdoshim that hasn't been redeemed yet, it's still in the realm of the holy. It's not called Shor Re'ehu, hence it's not in the picture for payment collection. As a result, how many actual damagers do you have here in terms of payment? V'havei kemi she'ein lo shutof. It's as if the common animal doesn't have a partner in the damage. U'mishalem chatzinezek kedino, and he'll pay the full half damage, as is the rule regarding a shor tam. So that whatever you can't collect from one, you can't collect for anything from the shor psul mukdoshim, collect the whatever maximum you can from the other one. If it's a short tam, the maximum he would have to pay is half nezek. With that, we've explained Abaye's approach. Abaye reflects Rabbi Nosson's opinion. The next Rashi, Kerabonon, the opinion that pay, you say a quarter, which Ravina or Rava said, really reflects the opinion of the Rabbonon. The Rabbanan say Revia Nezek, Hayil V'yeshlo Shutof. The common animal in this particular case has a partner, the Psula Mukdoshim, Hayil V'yeshlo Shutof. And since there is a partner, V'zeh She'eino Yochel Ishtale Min HaKochim, Yafsid, the victim in this case, who has no means of collecting from the Kochim animal, loses out. So that the common animal benefits from the shutfus. The common animal would have had to pay a maximum of, if it was alone, it would have paid half damage, because it's a short tam. It has a partner in the physical damage done, so he benefits from the partnership and pays only half of what he would have had to pay. So half of a half is a quarter. The rest, well, the bad luck of the victim comes into play, and he loses out three quarters of the damage that he sustained. We continue in the Gemara with another approach. Iboy Esema, ha v'ha kerabonan. Both Ravina and Abaye are reflecting the opinion of the Rabbonan. And ha betam. Ravina said a quarter damage is, as we already explained, you're dealing with a short tam, and the half payment that Abaye spoke about, ha b'muad. And a muad, if it was on its own, would have had to pay full damage. Since we're working within the shita of the Rabbanan, that the partnership benefits each one, and hence you have the hedyot here, though his animal was a shor hamuad, but there was the psulei mukdoshim also involved. So how much can we expect from the hedyot to pay? Not full damages, there is a partner in the damage, so he'll pay half And we continue with a Roman numeral number 2, Ika Diamri. Another version, and you'll see a major difference in terms of Shitas Abayar Machatzi Nezek. That's the same as before, but Ravino Markule Nezek. Here, and you notice we've used a dashed underline to enable you to contrast this Roman numeral 2 version with the number Roman numeral number 1 version, where Ravino said only a quarter. Ha v'ha b'muad. According to our second Lashon, the Ika Diamri, Abaye and Rava are both talking about a muad. With the markings, you should be able to see the contrast very easily between the two Lashonos. According to this 2 Aleph version, both Abaye and Ravina are talking about a muad. In the 1 Aleph version, both Abaye and Rava were talking about a tam. So how do we explain the difference in opinions? Ha kerabonon, Abaye, who said half damage is paid, even though we're talking about a muad, is because that's the opinion of the Rabbanon, that we take, we factor in the fact that there is a partner in crime, a partner in damage, namely the Psula HaMukdoshim, from which you can't collect anything. So the hedyot that happens to be a muad will pay half damage. The ha kerabi nosan, Ravina, who said full damage, that is in the spirit of Rabbi Nosson. He reflects Rabbi Nosson's opinion that says if you can't collect from one, seek collection from the other. And since you can't collect anything from the owner of the Psula HaMukdashim, you collect the maximum that you can collect from the other, namely full damages, because we are dealing with a Shor HaMuad that pays full damages anyway. According to this approach, Abaye and Ravina are within Rabbi Nosson, and yet there's no machlokes. Ha b'muad, the ha b'tam. Ravina, that said full damage, is speaking about a shor hamuad, and the half damage that Abaye spoke about is because the aggressor animal, the hedyot animal, was a tam. But you notice, according to this approach, the common animal is not benefiting whatsoever from the fact that it had a partner in crime. And that is, of course, Rabbi Nosson's approach. One more detail that I want to point out by way of the markings, the house marking in both Lashonos appears at a point in which the opinions of Abaye and Ravina are both within one Tana. In Roman numeral number 1 Beis, they were both within the Rabbanan. And Roman number 2 Beis, both Abaye and Ravina were within Rabbi Nosson. So even though we have a rather short piece of Gemara, there's quite a bit of, we'll say, structural detail that we attempted to emphasize for the sake of precision in learning. We continue now with a new train of thought. We also have a chart that appears in the margin. We didn't fill in all of the boxes because that's not really the main purpose of presenting the chart. If you see, I hope you see in the margin where we have our little table. We call it a tavla, tavla of the Aramaic version of table. In fact, phonetically, they seem to be very similar words. There's a starred note on that table that says Isharnu es hamishvotzeis reikos. We left the individual spaces, the little squares on the chart, empty, blank, kedei shaloi me yimale yosam, so that each one who is learning the sugya fills it in with the expressions of the Bechayev, O Potter. So that you can take a look at the chart itself, and you see going across the top, you have a shor, the reference to an ox, an odom, a person, and a boar. what is the payment scheme when they cause damage, and there are different payments that we have to take into consideration. One is nezek, that's going down the right-hand column. You have nezek is depreciation as a result of the damage. Dalet dvarim is a reference to the additional payments that in Hebrew are referred to as tsar, ripui, sheves, and boshes. Tsar being pain, sheves, an unemployment payment, ripui, medical bills, and boshes, embarrassment payments. We've discussed these things often in the past. Those additional four payments would not be made by the owner of an ox, an animal that causes damage. That's unique to an odom hamazik, a person that creates damage. Demei vlados is a reference to the payment for the miscarriage of the unborn. And kofar is the payment made when a human is killed, a regular Jew is killed. Shloshim sheleved is the payment, the Torah-dictated, fixed payment for the death of a heathen slave. Kalim is a reference to the destruction of vessels. And Shorv Sulamutoshim, we've made reference to that, but we'll add some detail when we go through the sukkah regarding the animal that was once dedicated as a sacrifice that subsequently developed a blemish. These are the factors that we'll see in the course of this Gemara. Now we turn to the Gemara itself. Omar Rava, note that we have a long marking. Omar Rava, shor v'adam shedachfoy labor. An aggressive ox and a man that shoved into a pit. So you have here three aggressors, three damage causers, an ox, a man, and a pit. Le'inyan Nezikin. Now, you'll notice that we have a double underline marking on the side of the Gemara under our Mivneh heading. We've indicated Hevdelim, differences, Bechivas Tashlumin, regarding the obligation to compensate Bein Kol Mazik, the differences between each damager, Shetalui Bema Nizok. The differences will be dependent on what was damaged. So here you have these three causes of damage. The Inyan Nezikin, regarding depreciation that results, Kulon Chayovin. All have to contribute, all have to pay, all have to compensate. The Inyan Arba Dvarim, regarding the additional four payments besides depreciation, Udeme Vlados, regarding miscarriage, Adam Chayov. Only a person has to pay those payments. Vishor Ubor Potter, owner of ox, owner of pit, would be exempt. So that if you have these three different types of damagers, and the result would have been a person victim who... a person victim, so of these three damagers, only the Adam would pay the four dvarim, and in the case of a miscarriage, only the Adam pays. Bor and Shor are exempt. There's a Rashi that we should read a little further down from here. Shor v'Adam shedachfoi Dover Echod Labor, an ox and a person that shoved something into a pit. Venimsu Shloshtan Shutvin Benezek Hashor, who are their three Shutvin, three partners in the damage. Hashor, Vabor, Vel Adam. The examples that the Gemara gives are stated in a rather terse fashion. So we had to add that regarding the payment of Demei Vlados And the Arba Dvarim, that would be only if the victim happened to have been a human being. There's another detail that Rashi spells out, and I think that we should look at it together. The Rashi is about halfway down the page. L'inyan nezikin kegoin im dachvoy sham odom. In the case that a person was shoved into the pit, the huzak, and sustained damage, the shalman bein kula. Now the word v'huzak, you'll see, is a very important expression, because we're going to contrast this with the case of died in the pit. So here he was damaged. Mishalman ben kulan p'chastomov. All three damagers have to share in the person's depreciation. The kulan chayovim benizke adam. The hada kaimalon bor. Lagabi bor. That which we say in the context of bor as a damager. Shor v'loy adam. They only when an ox is damaged in the pit, or is affected by the pit, and we exclude a person. Because in the pasuk it says v'nafal shama shor o chamor, and we say shor comes to exclude adam. Bekatla kaimalon, the exclusion of person who's a victim in a pit is only if the person was killed in the pit. Kegonim nafal l'soichay eved umeis. For example, a slave fell into a pit and died, so the pit owner would be exempt. Avo benezikin chayav. But when it comes to damage, there the owner of the pit must pay. Uch Reb Nosson hi, and this is in accordance with Reb Nosson, that doesn't look just at the beginning. De lo azo baser dechifo dechudai, doesn't look just at the one who did the shoving. If you looked just at, if you took the opinion of the Rabbanan, then the Bala Bor would not be in the picture, because they emphasize the initial the initial act, and the pit was not participant in the initial act. The victim ended up in the pit as a result of an initial shoving. Let's turn back to the Gemara. The Inyan Koifer Ushloishim Shalevet, regarding the payment of kofar, which is the payment when a Jew is killed, and the payment of 30 pieces of silver when an eved is killed, shor chayev, only a shor pays those payments. And when you speak about kofar, Rashi adds that the shor is chayev provided you're dealing with a mu'ad shor. A shor tam does not pay kofar. There is the sheet of Rabbi Yosi Aglili that a shor tam pays chatzi kofar, but we're dealing with the general accepted approach that a shor mu'ad alone pays kofar as opposed to a shor tam. And odam ubor pturin, a person killing another person doesn't pay money. It's if he did it deliberately, he pays with his life. He's executed. And even if he didn't do so willingly, but since in potential he could be executed, even if he didn't do so intentionally, still there's no money payment. So an odom is exempt from kofar. And bor, person falling into a bor, we mentioned this before. The pasuk says shor, and we say shor v'lo odom. So bor, owner, is exempt for these payments, kofar and shloishim shel eved. Both of them, just to repeat, both of them are cases where a human being died. Kofar is where a Jew died, and shloishim shel eved is where a heathen slave died. Le'inyan kelim v'shor psula mukdoshim, regarding vessels that were damaged, or the disqualified sacrificial animal was damaged. Odom v'shor chayovin, person and owner of ox, aggressor ox, have to compensate for these things that were damaged, kelim and shorps l'mikdoshim. Ubor poter, a pit owner is exempt. My time, why is the pit owner exempt from the damage of kelim and shorps l'mikdoshim? Omar kro, the pasuk says regarding a pit, v'ameis ye lo, and the carcass will be yours. B'mi shehames shelo. That payment will be made when the mace, when the carcass is yours. What do we mean by that? You could sell the carcass. That yotzozeh sheina meishalo, to the exclusion of this one, namely the sharp sulmudoshim, that you don't have the option of selling it. Lemeimro de pshito le lerova, are you suggesting that this is a matter of the obvious, or is a matter of certainty to Rava? Rava, of course, is the one who began this discussion, and you notice we have this dashed underline. We're using it in order for you to be able to make a quick connection with Rava, who appeared at the beginning of this discussion, where we had our long marking there, too. We dashed underline him. V'ha mibaya boi le l'Rava. The issue of the shor psula mikdashim falling into the pit is something that Rava once asked about. The boy Rava, sharp sumutashim shenafel avar mahu, a disqualified sacrificial animal that fell into a pit. What is the din? Hi vames yelo b'mi shameshelo yotzozeh sheinameshelo. Do we say that the pasuk by Bor that describes vames yelo is a reference to a sharp sulu, is a reference to a common animal that was a victim to the, that you could sell the carcass, as opposed to a sharp sulu hamukdoshim, that it is not to be sold, it is to be buried. If the animal died, obviously, if it was alive, you can slaughter it once you redeem it. But even if you had redeemed it, but it wasn't slaughtered, but rather fell into a pit and died, you can't sell it. So we can't call it hames mishames shelo, that it's considered your animal's carcass. You have this selling limitation upon it. Therefore, it could be that shrubsum joshim that falls into a pit does not generate a compensation obligation upon the pit owner, because, as we said, it's not called hames vames yelo. Oy, Dilma. Vahamesia lo, it could be that the pasuk that says Vahamesia lo in the context of the pit is teaching me something else. Lebaile mitaplum minavelehu da'asa. It comes to teach me the halacha that the owner of the carcass, he takes the carcass. In other words, the owner of the pit doesn't pay an entire animal cost. He rather pays the balance between the original animal cost and the value of the carcass. The value of the carcass is something that the owner victim, he takes that, so that the owner of the pit only pays the balance. So maybe that's what we learned from Vahames Yelo, and it's not coming to the exclusion of a Shor Psalm Dushan that was victim in a pit. So why was it said above in the name of Rava? Why did it appear that Rava had a definitive stand on the matter, that Bor is potter, is exempt from Shor Psalm Mikdashim, when you see here that it wasn't something that's so clear to Rava? The Gemara answers, there's no problem over here. Bosu Debaya Hoder Pashta. After Rava had raised the question, maybe when you're looking at the Gemara, it's not in chronological sequence. Rather, the section of the Gemara here that speaks about Rava having raised the question, fine, he raised the question once upon a time. That which appeared higher up in the Gemara was after Rava had raised the question and reached a conclusion, namely that the Hames, yellow, does exclude the Baal Habor from compensating for the Shor Psula Mikdashim that was killed or damaged in the pit. Well, all right, if that's the case, then Elo Bailim Mitaplim Binavelim Minole. So where will Rava learn that halacha, that in a pit wherein there is found an animal that's killed in a pit, a common animal killed in a pit, that the owner of the victim animal takes the carcass and the owner of the pit merely pays the balance. Where will Rava learn that point from? Answer, Nafkole min v'hamesialo deshor. He will learn that concept of Bailim mitaplim v'nevelo in from the same phrase, v'hamesialo, that appears in the context of a shor killing another animal. So we have the phrase v'hamesialo appearing once in the context of boar and once in the context of shor. The boar causing damage or an ox causing the damage. When we say damage, we're including the idea of the victim animal dying. My chazis, the Gemara asks, once I have these two psukim, why is it that we choose v'hamesia lo deshor, mafkisle is used to derive l'bayle metaplim v'vela, and as a result, let's just continue. V'hamesia lo debor mafkisle l'misha mesia lo. If you say, for example, like we just said, that Vamesia Lo teaches by shor, teaches me that Baile Metapim Benevela, the owner of a shor psuli hamudoshim that causes damage will have to pay. That information you can see in Rashi. The Rashi that I'm referring to, let us look at it together, about 5-6 lines from the bottom. Rashi says, Umay choses dahai vashor v'hamesi elo deshor, mafkis lei, is used to derive the baile metapnu vela, that the owner of the victim animal takes the carcass, and only the balance is to be paid by the offender. Umechayvis lei anegichas psule hamugdoshim. And that there will be culpability in the case of an aggressor, psule hamukdashim. Let's continue in the Gemara. V'hameis yelo debor, mafkis lei, lemi shameis shelo. And you said that the pasuk v'hameis yelo found in the context of boar teaches me that the boar owner is exempt when a psule hamukdashim animal is killed in the pit. Epuch ano. Why not switch things around? What would the result of that be? The result would be that a shor psulim mukdashim found dead in a pit, killed by the pit, pit owner has to compensate. And when a v'hames yelo by shore, that will teach me the halacha of that when there's a shor psulim mukdashim victim of an aggressor shore, then there would be no payment. The Gemara answers, Mistabra Ptur Gabi Bor. When we speak about an exemption for the damage of a psulim mukdashim, it's most likely that it's in the context of the bor. Hayu upotar boy es hakelim. Since in the case of boar, there's an additional type exemption when vessels are destroyed. And vessels are destroyed in a pit, there's total exemption. Therefore, the exemption for the damage that occurred to a psuah mukdashim is also likely to be found regarding the boar. Adarabah. Ptur Gabi Shor. Why not say that the exemption for a damaged psulim mukdashim is in the context of an ox that is the aggressor? Shekein Potar Bo Chatzi Nezek. We find a form of exemption by the aggressive Shor in the form of Shor Tam paying only half damages. The Gemara answers, why is it that we chose Bor as the source in which you find exemption for psulim mukdashim, based on the pasuk of amesia lo, kule nezek mias lo ashkochon? You don't find total exemption in the case of a shor that damages, but you do find total exemption in the case of bor, as we mentioned, a complete exemption regarding vessels. we continue, and before we do so, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading. Machlokes Rabbanan Rabbi Yehuda Binyan Chiyuv Bor Al Kalim Shenizoku Bo. Up till now, we've mentioned exemption of pit owner for vessels that are damaged therein. In fact, that is a machlokes tanoim. So our Gemara continues with a quote from the Mishnah: Nofal Letocho, there fell into the pit shor, the kalov v'nishtabru, an ox with its vessels upon it, and they broke. And we saw that for the vessel breaking, the owner of the pit is exempt. Masnisin v'lo kributa, our Mishnah is not authored by Rebbe Yehuda. The San Rebbe Yehuda Mechayev al Nizke Kalim Babor. Rebbe Yehuda holds that for the destruction of vessels, the damage, i.e. destruction of vessels in a pit, the owner of the pit must compensate. So we have two opinions regarding destruction of vessels in a pit. My time of the Rabbanan, what is the reason behind the Rabbanan who say no compensation? The Yomar Kro, the Pasuk says, V'nofal shomo shor o chamor. And we derive from these words, shor v'lo adam. For the death of an animal, there is compensation made by the owner of the pit, but not for the death of a person in the pit. Chamor, for the death of the chamor of a donkey, there is compensation made. V'lo kalim, but not for the destruction of vessels. Now, these psukim are found in Shmois Perichov Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. And I said psukim in the plural because we're going to make reference to Pasuk Lamed Dalet as well. So before we go any further in the Gemara, just to familiarize ourselves with the psukim, let us take note of them. It says in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, V'chi yiftach ish bor, o ki yichre ish bor, v'lo yichasenu, v'nofal shomo shor o chamor. We've seen this pasuk already several times in the past. It describes the uncovering or the digging of a pit, and there falls therein an ox or a donkey. Baal habor yishalem kesef yashiv lo'olav ha'meis yellow. The owner of the pit shall compensate, and the pasuk meis yellow, already we spent quite a bit of time just before on that. So in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, you see a reference to specific items that were damaged. Shor, chamor. Shor is presented to the exclusion of a person. And Rashi explains by the fact that the Pasuk did not simply say v'nofal shomo hanofel, and the faller fell in, but was more specific. There is an agenda here, and that is to exclude other items. So we're excluding person, and we're excluding vessels that were destroyed in a pit. Rebbe Yehuda says that the vessels are to be compensated for in the pit. How does he come to that? Oy, l'rabois es hakelim. In the pasuk we read, you can see it's quoted here. It said, "V'nofal shama shor oy chamor." The word "o" comes to include responsibility for compensating for vessels. All right, so we see how Rebbe Yehuda includes vessels. What does Rebbe Yehuda do with the word chamor? We're going to leave that aside for the time being. V'rabbanan, what do the Rabbanan do with that? With the word "oy." We continue now at the top of Daf Nun Dalid. So the Gemara says, Oi mi boya lei lechalek. Lechalek means to separate, to split apart. Very simply, the Pasuk said, V'nofal shomo shor oi chamor. At what point does the Baal Habor become culpable? Do both have to fall in, a shor and a chamor? No. That's what we learn from the word oi. O says a shor, an ox, or a donkey. In order for the Baal Bor to be chayev, you don't need to have both falling in. Rabbi Yehuda, the chalik, Rabbi Yehuda, where does he learn this idea of the culpability even if one type of animal falls in? Mi v'nofal. The pasuk said v'nofal shama. Nofal is a word in the singular. So one animal is enough to generate the obligation, the responsibility on the Baal Habor. the owner of the pit. V'rabbonan v'nafal. From the word v'nafal, I cannot derive the idea of l'chalek or singularity. Why? Because tuva mashma. The word v'nafal, even though it appears in the singular, it doesn't come to the exclusion of many. Tuva means many. The word nafal, and Rashi cites several examples of words that appear in the singular, but really are a reference to a multitude. The Gemara asks, Ema, why not look at our pasuk with the following, we'll say, hermeneutic structure? I say hermeneutic meaning the different ways that the oral tradition darshans, expounds upon verses arriving at various conclusions. And one of them is as follows. Why not say v'nofal equals klal? Klal means a general statement that something fell into a pit. What? Well, anything. It's general. And then the pasuk says shor v'chamor equals prat. Those are specific examples. And when you have a pasuk whose structure is like that, we call it klal uprat. And the result of that type of structure in terms of oral tradition, ein bichlal ela mashin beprat. The general category contains no more than that which is stated in the specific. And what would then be the generator of responsibility upon the pit owner? Shor v'chamor in mi di achrin olo. Only if a shor or chamor falls in, nothing else. The question then would be, and here's the key for the upcoming Gemara, is other kinds of animals that fall into a pit, where would I know that the owner of the pit must compensate? The star that you notice in the Gemara directs you to a note on the side. And let's read our note. Simanu b'kivkuv, we've highlighted with a dashed underline, es ha-she'la, the main question. The question here is, if you're going to say that the pasuk is in a klal uprat fashion, how in the world would I know that other animals, a camel, a horse, a sheep, a goat, that fall into a pit, the pit owner bears responsibility? Ubahem shech, ha-tshuva, ha-achrona, we have also highlighted with a dashed underline the final answer, b'matara, with the goal, lahavlit tchilosa v'soifa shalhamalach, v'ntzomoker shebor chayev gam b'shar mili. So that if you do the old bird's eye view of the Gemara, which I always recommend doing, we've highlighted with a dashed underline the question, namely, Shar Mili Minayin Dechayev Babor. Let your eyes skim down the page. Do you chance upon another dashed underline? Well, you do. At that point, we've dashed line the expression, the rabbis called Islay Bailim. That's derived from a posuk, Kesef Yashiv Leba'olav. For our purposes, of course, you can see we haven't gone through the Gemara yet, but we have a question. From where do you know to include all other kinds of animals that are damaged in a pit? And the answer is there, later in the Gemara, where it says, L'rabos, that even though the pasuk appears initially as a klal uprat style, which would be very limiting, we have another verse that comes to include anything that has an owner. Now, the Gemara. We have a triangle marking scheme, and in the margin under our Nosei / Mivne heading, we indicate that the triangle is a Chipus Mekoros Shishar Mili, a searching for sources that other things, the Noisif L'Shor Chamor Chayv Mabor, other kinds of animals besides an ox and a donkey, generate the obligation to compensate on the part of the pit owner. The triangle directions will alternate. With the triangle point facing up, tshuvos represents responses, and the inverted triangle, dechios, rejections of whatever was said immediately before. So the question was asked, and on the one hand, the pasuk appears to be in the klal uprat style, and we know that pit obligation extends beyond just a victim, ox or donkey. How do you know that, though? The Gemara continues. Amri, we answer. Posuk Lamedalet, Baal Habor Yishalem, Chozar V'Kolal. That is a general statement that the pit owner pays. Pays for what? Well, for any kind of thing. Now, what is the structure of these psukim? When you look at Lamed Gimel and Lamed Dalet together, you see Klal Uprat Uklal. General, specific, and then general. E ato don elo kein haprat. You can derive from this that which is similar to the examples, to the detail. Ma prat mefurish balechayim av kol balechayim. Just like the examples, the prat in this pasuk are animals, so to all animals. You have a right to include, by virtue of the fact that there's a second klal in this pasuk, you can include beyond the specific example, and we end up with all balechayim, all animals. Question. I understand we're coming to include, but who says all animals? E mahaprat mefurash. Note, by the way, we have a long question here. E mahaprat mefurash dover shinevelosa mitame b'magav masa. The prat, what was the prat? What was the example in the pasuk? You have a shor and a chamor. There's a common feature to a shor and a chamor, and that is that when dead, when they're killed, their nevela, their carcass, is mitame, communicates defilement, b'maga, through direct contact, or b'masa, through carrying or supporting it, even without direct contact. Merely having it upon you, even if it's on a tray, it's in a bag, nevertheless you will become defiled. That's characteristic of a shor and a chamor. As far as pit obligation, so to any other kind of animal that we can describe, its nevela, its carcass, is communicating tuma, defilement through maga, contact, maso, carriage, avolofoslo. But imagine someone had a pet ostrich or a peacock that fell into a pit, or a chicken that fell into a pit. These are birds. Birds do not communicate tuma through mago. Dead birds do not communicate tuma through mago maso. So how would you know that someone who had a peacock that fell into a pit, that the pit owner does have to compensate? By looking at the examples in the pasuk, I wouldn't know to conclude that. The psukim examples feature dover shenevei losim mitame b'magav maso to the exclusion of birds. Answer, in Cain, if birds were to be excluded, nichtev rachmona chad prota. Let the pasuk have sufficed with one example. The fact that an additional example is used, we have a right to include more, namely even ophos. The Gemara asks, is that a realistic suggestion to write just one example? Which one would you choose? Hey, nichtov. E kosav shor, have amino korv legabi mizbeach in. If the example in the pasuk was shor, I wouldn't have known that you're guilty for chamor, because I would have thought that a shor is something that is suitable to serve as a sacrifice, to be offered as a sacrifice on the altar. She'en no korev legabi mizbeach lo. Something that's not suitable for being offered on the mizbeach, an unkosher animal like a donkey. Maybe the owner of the pit would not be guilty. Therefore, kasav rachmona chamor, the Torah had to write chamor. Sure, would not have been enough to include chamor. The kasav rachmona chamor, and had the Torah written chamor and not written shor, I would have thought, have amina, kadosh mevechera in, animals that have sanctity as firstborns. A firstborn donkey has a certain level of sanctity, and it has to, in fact, be redeemed. The Torah describes the redemption of a firstborn donkey whose kedusha is transferred to a set, to a sheep. So that's unique to a chamor. So I would have thought animals that have kedushas bechor, yes. Shein kadosh bechor lo. Imagine a horse, for example, that falls into a pit. I wouldn't have known that there would be culpability for that. Let us take a look at the Rashi. She'ein kodesh b'v'chor alo, kagon susim u'gamalim, horses and camels. Kos rachmona shor. Therefore, the Torah added the word shor. The lo itzrich. I wouldn't have needed it. The hamiklal. I'll see. I would have figured shor anyway from chamor. Why does the Torah bother writing shor? L'rabuye lafiyas susim gamalim hayol v'damu leprata mishnei tzadim. Since susim and gamalim are like the details from two angles, two sides, what does susim and gamalim have in common with our examples of shor and chamor? One, balei chayim, they're animals, they're living things, and number two, nevelos and mitame, and their carcasses communicate defilement. Avalofos, the lo domu ella bechad sadlo, but birds that have only one thing in common with our examples of shor and chamor. What's the, they're balei chayim, but their carcasses do not defile. Maybe that's not included in the culpability of the pit owner. So had the Torah written just chamor, I would have thought only kadosh b'vachora is guilty in pit, not things like horses and camels. Therefore, the Torah had to write both. And the presence of both examples, therefore, is not necessarily to include ofos. So how do I know ofos? How do I know that for birds, pit owner is chayev? Elo omar kro, vames yelo, kol debar misa. Anything that is capable of dying. After the brackets, the Gemara is going to question citing this pasuk as a source for bor being chayev in other things. Within the brackets, the Gemara will be asking two questions regarding vessels that are destroyed in a pit. The first question is related to the pasuk, and the second question is related to reality. So if we skip the brackets for a moment, just to maintain the trend of thought, the citation to include birds was Vames Yelo, Kol Debar Misa. After the brackets, you see the inverted triangle, which raises a question or a rejection. We have a long marking here. And the Gemara asks, Hai Vames Yelo, but that pasuk Mibalei Lechadu Rava is needed for Rava's teaching. It's therefore not available to include birds. We'll get back to that. Let's look at the bracketed section, though. Bein l'rabbonon dekomemayit l'kelim, bein l'Rabbi Yehuda dekomarbi l'hu kelim. Whether you follow the opinion of the rabbonon, who exclude vessels, or you cite Rabbi Yehuda, who includes vessels in the pit that are destroyed by the pit. Kalim b'nei misa ninhu. Can you describe vessels as something that die? Rashi explains. And let's look at Rashi together, right across from here. Kalim b'nei misa ninhu. Once the pasuk describes the pit as being responsible for something that dies therein, b'tmiha, v'lomali krolim utei l'rabbonan. Why would you need a pasuk to exclude vessels when they don't come into the picture to begin with? They're not things that die. They're inanimate. Rabbi Yehuda, hechi matzir binu, and Rabbi Yehuda, how can he think to include vessels? Halo karina bu vamesi alo, the pasuk would have that says, and the dead will be to the owner, owner of the victim. That has no relevance to vessels. So whether according to the Rabbanan who exclude vessels, or according to Rabbi who include vessels, what relevance the vessels have to a source of damage, the pit that in which the pasuk Vameis Yelo appears? The Gemara answers, there is relevance. Amri, we answer, Shvirasan Zuhi Misasan. The breaking of the vessel is its death. The Gemara asks, Ula Rav, the Omar, according to Rav, that says, Bor Shechaivalov Torah Lehevloi Velo Lechavoto. The bor obligation of the Torah is a result of the bad air, the hevel, the bad air that circulates or doesn't circulate at the bottom of the pit. That is what generates the obligation to compensate on the part of the pit owner. Lo lechavoto, not for the impact. Someone digs a pit, we'll say, in a public domain, and something, and the animal dies by falling into the bottom. It's death and subsequent pit owner obligation to compensate is only a result of the hevel, says Rav. Impact, that was karka olam, the ground owned by the public is what caused the impact. You can't hold the pit owner responsible for impact. So as far as Rav is concerned, we speak about a pit being generating obligation as a result of what? As a result of the bad air. Well, bein the Rabbana, bein the Rabbuda, kalin b'nei, hevla ninu. Whether according to the Rabbana or according to Rabbuda, what relevance do vessels have to hevel, to bad air? So that as far as the Rabbana are concerned, through the eyes of Rav, there was no need to exclude vessels in the first place. The pit is responsible only for that which suffers as a result of the bad air. Vessels don't suffer as a result of bad air. And as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, how could you possibly include the pit to be obligated to compensate for vessels when, as far as Rav is concerned, pit obligation derives from the hevel? The Gemara answers, yes, there is relevance. Amri, the answer is bechadati. New vessels. Let's speak about new clay vessels just taken out of the kiln. The mifkari mehevla. They're still, we'll say, sensitive to hevel, to a type of bad air, which often is hot and can cause the splitting mifki to crack a new vessel. So even as far as Rav is concerned, that the bor represents the source of hevel, that is a source, a basis of damage when it comes to vessels. The Gemara now asks, we mentioned before that Vameis Yelo comes to include birds. Why? Because it says anything that has relevance to death. In the brackets, we mentioned that vessels also have a connection to the concept of death. But let's put that aside for now. So Vameis Yelo was our source for birds. Question. Hi, Vameis Yelo. Mi boyalei lechad Rava, but I need that for Rava's teaching. Diyama Rava. Shor psule hamugdashim. Shenofa labor. Potter. We had this just before. We made reference to this. That a shor, an ox that was found unfit to serve as a sacrifice, that falls into a pit. Pit owner, and it dies in the pit. Pit owner is exempt. Shenemar Vameis Yelo. When does the pit owner have an obligation to compensate? When it's a situation that we can describe as Vameis Yelo, B'misha Meis Yelo. When the owner of the victim animal can take the carcass and sell it. Yotzu Zeh Shein Hameis Yelo, to the exclusion of Shor P'sul Mikdashim, which when it dies must be buried. Can't be sold. We can't describe that as Hameis Shelo. His, Hashem means his carcass. He's limited. So the Pasuk Vameis Yelo can't serve to include birds when Vameis Yelo is used to exempt pit from Sharps Lamedushim that's killed. Ela Omar Kra. Rather, we have another pasuk. Also, in the case of the pit, Kesef Yoshiv Lebalav. Payment shall be made to the owner of the victim. Le Rabois, to include Kol Deis Le Bailim. Anything that has an owner. Person owns birds. The bird that was killed in a pit, compensation must be made to its owner. Well, Li Hafi, if Kesef Yoshibolov is going to include anything that has an owner, Afilu Kalim V'Odom Nami. Even in the case of vessels, then pit should be Chayev Odom. Odom, what do you mean an Odom has an owner? A slave. We mentioned before that the pit owner is exempt from slave death in the pit. We should obligate them, and we yet we know that a boar is potter. Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, Shor, velo Odom. Chamor, velo Kalim. If you thought to include Odom and Kalim and Odom by virtue of Kesef Yoshibolov, not so. Because in the very same Pasuk dealing with boar, we exclude them. Question. Ula Rebbe Yehuda, the Komarbi Luhu Lekalim. Rebbe Yehuda said that a boar is chayev for Kalim. Bishlama Shor, I see the role of the word Shor, Mimayit Bey, Odom. He'll use that to exclude Odom. Ela Chamor, my Mimayit Bey. What does Rebbe Yehuda derive from Chamor? What does he exclude from the Torah citation of Chamor, of donkey? The Rabbanan, we explained already, they use Chamor to exclude vessels, but Rebbe Yehuda includes vessels as being a source of obligation in the case of boar. Elo Amar Rava, Rava answers, he says, Chamor de boar, the Rebbe Yehuda, the word Chamor in the Torah that you find in this parsha of boar, according to Rebbe Yehuda, vese, the word se appears in the Torah that the psukim in the Torah that describe returning a lost article. And there's a list of different items that are stated in that section. Amongst the list of items stated is the word se. The se de aveda. Aveda is the lost article. The divrei hakol, according to all the opinions, kashya, is difficult, meaning we don't know what to derive from the presence of the word se there in the parsha that deals with aveda, lost articles. In the last discussion, then, we were searching for a source. If you recall, we spoke about our dashed underlining marking scheme. The question was, how do I know that a boar owner is chayev for birds that are found dead, that are killed in the pit? The answer is, the pasuk says, Kesef Yoshiv Lebolov, to include all things that have owners, a reference to, in our discussion, a reference to birds, to suggest including vessels and people that are victim in a pit, we know to exclude them from the drushes of the word shor and chamor. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.